Hi everyone, this is Boldogság Tervezés Podcast, in English Happiness Planning Podcast, and my name is Victoria Sós, and I have László Jacenko here, and we are two coaches working with personal development trainings, ideas, issues, and today's topic will be how to gain more self-confidence. This is a best of topic, actually, because this is one of the biggest issues we have as trainers and coaches. So we are going to cover this topic in this podcast. Laci, you brought a quote here first.
Yeah, maybe it's best to start with the quote.
Quotes are always good.
Yeah, right? First of all, quotes are always good. And the second of all, that it's a very old, actually it's more than a century old quote, and it still hasn't fallen out of relevance.
Yeah. And it's one of our favorites, actually.
Yeah, and actually it's a very good quote, and it gives all this topic a nice frame through which you can think about it. Mm. So let's hear it. So it is not the critic who counts. Not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles, or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who, at best, knows at the end the triumph of high achievement, and who, at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. This is actually a quote from Theodore Roosevelt, and it's more than a century old now, and it
gives me goosebumps, actually.
Yeah,
it describes so greatly what's at stake here. Like, if you enter the arena, you can fail or you can win, but if you never enter it, then you will never know victory, and of course, nor defeat.
Yeah, and the thing is that it's not in the same league. So people who enter the arena are not in the same league with people who never do that. And this is usually the core issue when it comes to self-confidence, because in your life, whatever you are doing, you can actually always fulfill one of three roles, and this really describes that in a particular way. You can be the player, or you can be somewhat of a coach, or you can be a commentator or a critic. Yeah.
Yeah. We had an exercise on this for our workshop on self-confidence, and it was interesting to see whether participants felt at ease with the player role, with the critic role, or the coach role. And let me tell you that the critics were doing great. And that's always the case, because within us we also have these roles. We have our player mode when we step out of our comfort zone, we take action, and we try our best. And then we have our inner critic, the voice that tells us that we are going to fail, we are not doing our best. And also there's the coach, who's a helper kind of role within us when we are telling ourselves that, yes, you are doing well, you will succeed. And unfortunately, what we experience with our clients is that many times the critic is the major voice, and that's a huge problem if you want to gain self-confidence, because the critic can influence the player, even though the player is the one who takes action.
Yeah, actually, I would say that the the player influence is the player. The critic, actually, if you're a critic in your life and not a player at a certain moment, in any given moment, what you are doing is actually just, you are not doing what you are supposed to be doing. Instead, you are reflecting on the possibilities of what can happen if you are doing whatever you are not doing, actually. Yeah.
Actually, of course, planning and self-reflection are very important values. And there are no pure players, pure critics, or pure coaches. But it's very important to strive to have more player mode in our lives and less of the critic and more of the coach. So it's about the proportions.
Basically. Yeah, and also it's not to say that you cannot give criticism or you cannot voice a critique of anything, even of your performance. It's not like that. The question is, when is it due? So when do you have to do that? And you have to like differentiate between. Or you have to like allocate certain time for it.
Yeah.
Because that serves you well, actually, if that is being done as a service to your future performance and not as a replacement for your present performance.
Yeah. For example, I have been working as a dating coach for years, and it's very typical that daters try to be the players, of course, and I mean it in the sense that they try to have a successful date, successful conversations, they try to be attractive, but then when they are going on the date, they are present at the date, but they are not really present because all the while they are criticizing themselves, so they are actually playing the critic role. Which means that they are sitting there, but they are losing their self-confidence because they are criticizing themselves on the spot. Do I look right? What does the other person think of me? Oh, maybe I said something stupid. Oh my God, I made a fool of myself. So that's going on as an inner voice that never stops. And this really hinders success, not only in dating, but in your everyday life. So yes, criticism beforehand is great, but when you decide to do something, then maybe it's time to be the player and not the critic.
Yeah, and let me voice something that's counterintuitive in relation to this. That actually, if you are conscious of what you are doing, you are not being a player. Usually that's because being conscious of whatever you are doing means that you are in a way reflecting on what you are doing. Most people when they are really on the playing field, really in the arena, like in the quote, they don't really care about how they look like, whether they perform well or not. What they care about is whatever they are doing at the moment. And they have actually just no mental capacity for reflecting upon themselves because they are doing the deeds.
Yeah. This is the state of the flow as well.
Yeah,
also, as it is
yeah.
described. Okay, so let's go on to...
Yeah, maybe one more thing. So why this all is relevant? Because no one gets self-confidence by criticizing, yeah, actually.
Yeah.
So self-confidence is... you are never born with self-confidence, actually. Well, you are born with some capacity to try and try again. And we are actually trained out of this in school.
Yeah, babies have self-confidence and also children.
Yeah, whenever we are trained out of it, because this everybody is trained out of it actually, and this is sort of a natural process in a way. So I'm not saying that our schools are very well equipped and well prepared for preparing people or for giving people self-confidence, but still getting trained out of self-confidence in a way is also a learning process. So, but the thing is that you have to do, because doing the things is what gives you actually self-confidence. That
and
is
mastery
what helps.
Of things,
yeah.
Actually.
Okay,
So let's move on to one of the biggest blocks of self-confidence, and that is fear. So what do we know about fear?
Yeah, okay, so if usually fear is something that people think of as like a... the Sandman or something. That it's like a big boogeyman, and they posit fear as something that that hinders them from doing the thing whatever they want to be doing. But it's not like that. What I suggest is that you think of fear as two distinct mental states. One is what I would say is biological fear. Biological fear is when somebody jumps on you and you are scared. That is something that is very automatic. But this is not the kind of fear that usually usually is at work when we are not doing whatever we are supposed to be doing. The kind of fear we experience is actually psychological, and this differs greatly from biological fear, because this is actually just a mismanagement of your mental faculties. Because here's how it works. So usually what happens is that you think of a future outcome of something that you want to be doing, and you usually imagine a worst outcome or a very bad one. And then you contemplate on it a lot of times, again and again, and you associate so much pain to this that you begin to like fear it. But this fear is built up, and this is all about how you manage your mental faculties. It's not something that is biologically given. This is something that you are doing to yourself, and since it is you who are doing this to yourself, it is also you, this is the good news, who can stop doing it. Because this is built up and you can just unbuild it. You can learn to stop doing this. So this is the first thing that you have to stop doing, actually.
Mm. Yeah, and if you cannot unlearn by yourself, then seek a therapist, either cognitive or psychoanalysis, whatever is good for you, and try to get rid of these fears. Actually, sometimes it's a lot of work. We don't deny that. We are not for the easy fixes here.
Yeah, the thing is that it really depends on what kind of person you are. So there are people who have like really deep rooted fears, and some can unlearn it very quickly. But what you can do as a first step is just implement this two-step procedure. So whenever you experience that you are not doing something that you want to do, you should determine the roots and the nature of the fear you are feeling. So what is it exactly what thwarts you from doing the thing that you want to do? So what is it that you fear, really? This is the first thing that you should do. And the second thing is actually, yeah, it's easier said than done. It's take action. But I'm not saying that you take the action that you are not taking because you experience fear. I'm saying that action usually cures fear. Action is the number one cure for fear. And indecision, hesitation, postponement, these are stuff that fertilize fear. So what you should do is actually find an action that helps you conquer your fear. So if you, for instance, if you fear of, I don't know, speaking publicly, then you can find an action that you prepare very well. That's an action also. You start preparing. You prepare like you never done before. And then you do your public speech.
Mm. Or, just take baby steps. For example, if you fear of dating, of getting to know new people, then try helping out people in a very tiny ways in your everyday life, and try to get into conversations with them. So just try to define what your smallest viable steps are, mm-hmm. in the direction of your feared something.
Yeah.
And also, our next point is memory management. Because we experience that the lack of self-confidence is first of all fear. Fear of doing the things that you really want to do or you want to achieve. And the second is your memory management, which we mean that much lack of self-confidence is due to a mismanaged memory. And if you think that your brain works like an account and you have a loser account and a winning account, if you think about your failures and successes, I bet that most of you who are listening to this podcast will be able to list more past failures than successes. So if you, for example, if you have to talk about yourself, it's very easy to criticize yourself, but it's more difficult to praise yourself. It works the same way, and many times what we experience as coaches that people forget to list their successes and to remember their successes and also to acknowledge their successes. We had in our workshops quite a few examples for this. If you have two small kids, for example, and your flat is tidy, that's already a huge success. And maybe you think that, oh yeah, it's natural, that's a default thing, but it's not. Or if in the beginning of December you already brought your presents for Christmas for your kids, that's already a great win, you know, because many of us postpone it to the last minute. Or if you could cook a nice meal. So successes can be really, really tiny things as well. Not only the huge successes are successes. And here we should redefine the word success, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, I do think that this is one of the road to failure and the lack of self-confidence, that people usually associate big results with success. And since we, most of us, have very few big results, this is not something that we can foster our self-confidence or because this is just simply too little of them. Now, what you can do is actually, redefine. So what do you think can be a success? Actually, it can be a lot of things. And if you think about it, all of these things can lead to a big result that we want to achieve. So, achieved result is probably the one thing that everybody associates with success. But what most people don't is like taking action. Taking action can
also... That's already success. Is already success in many cases.
Taking action is a huge success, actually. And you have to think about taking action as a success because you are not doing it. If you don't have self-confidence, that means that you are not taking enough actions. That's for sure. So taking actions for you should be considered a success. And also taking action, why is it a success? There are actually two instances when it is sure a success, when there was something that you hesitated to do but you did it anyway, that's huge success.
Also, and you did your best. Tried your best. That's not a failure if you tried your best, and even if you didn't gain, achieve the desired result, still it's a success, and you should clap yourself and pat yourself on the back.
Yeah, that's important, actually, that not the result that matters.
Yes. So we were talking about kind of thought deposits. And
just one more thing on this, because also there is something that you planned and then you did it, then again that's a success also. So, and these are the two things that you always have to consider a success. Okay, so
we were talking about thought deposits, that we have a winning account and a loser account, and maybe we should start collecting things and our tiny successes and big successes into our winning account, and time after time we should read or open this winning account and see what's there to gain more self-confidence. And also linked to this idea is the idea of fostering positive thoughts, and we have some small suggestions here that some small exercises that are proved to be working. And for example, count your blessings is a favorite one. And it's not by chance that most of the world religions have this as a practice, counting your blessings, either before you go to bed or whenever. And it's a great idea, even if you are not religious, to really count the positive things in your life, to feel gratitude towards the things you have in your life, and not thinking all the time on things that you cannot have and don't have. And it's always a great idea to write these things down in a diary, and if you feel really down, then it's a great way to bring your mood up if you write in your diary every day what positive things there were, even if you are in a very bad place right now, either because of a breakup or a death of someone you loved, or whatever, unemployment, whatever. So just write down the things that gave you a positive thought that day. And writing is very important because it's a great stress reliever. And then after a few months or just a few weeks, you can read it back and see whether you made progress or not. So that's the first one. And also the second one, recall good things you saw people do today. Because we have this misconception that we live in such a harsh society and other people are mean, but this is not the case. If you look a bit closer, because many people are helping each other and many people are kind to each other. And of course, those are always the loudest ones who are not. But there are the silent majority who are nice, actually. And try to write down and record the good things you saw people did today. And
And it's important to note here that it's not just about morally good. So sometimes you just see that somebody did some job very well. Now the thing is that if you think you cannot see this enough, then you have to fine-tune your attention to recognize these. Because if you cannot recognize when somebody else does something well, then you will certainly not recognize when you are doing something well.
Or you will never do these things. I never do any good things because you are too pessimistic. And we all know toxic people who never do any good, or they are always just complaining about everything and everyone else. And, you know, there are those types of people who are just suing everyone because they think that the whole world is against them. And please don't be that person. So it's very easy to fall into the complain mode. I think we are all guilty of this. And it's not by chance that there's even a movement that that says try to not to complain for a month. They even have a cute little bracelet. And so it's a huge challenge, and I invite you to this challenge. I'm taking up this challenge myself, and I failed many times. But as we learned, it's a success because I'm trying at least. So if you want to do this challenge, do it with me. And from now on, for 30 days, don't complain about almost anything, I would say.
If it is important to write something down, this is important. Yeah. So, like, if you in the evening, like, sacrifice 5 minutes, no more. You don't need more. Just to think about what did you see today that other people did very well, or something good that other people done. What was it? And just write them down, because you will not remember them. And this, what we are talking about now, memory management. So you need to fine-tune not just your attention, but whenever you need to remember like good things happening, then you just open this booklet and then you will read all the good things that you saw, which will help again on the long run.
And this changes your perspective and maybe changes your attitude, and then the world will also react differently to what you are doing and how you are behaving. And this is the point where the inner critic is important and the awareness is important in these daily reflections. And so the first one was count your blessings. The second was recall good things you saw people did today. And then recall your daily successes. And we already mentioned what we mean by success.
Maybe I can add a couple more, and then you can think of actually many more that you want to consider a success. But we already talked about achieved result, which everybody considers a success. But now we talked about action, so taking action, which is also a success. What can also be a success is new understanding, when you learn something new, and also insight. Insight is like these are rare moments of when you have this aha experience, when everything falls into place and your understanding of certain stuff somehow influences other parts of your life.
Basically, new connections are made within your world, and that's a very important step.
And maybe one of the most important, which I haven't mentioned yet, but this is, again, I think a success, is an identified mistake. And it's not a mistake, actually, a success, but the fact that it is identified. Because whenever it's identified as a mistake, it already means that there is a willingness to correct it.
Yeah. And so, also, sometimes when you receive criticism, it can hurt really badly. But then there are always some learning points in it, always. Yeah. So that's already a success if you are open to criticism and self-reflection and then take action based on that.
Now, also, what you should be aware of is whenever your inner critic starts to speak, you should be aware of it, and you should make him stop at a certain point, because just thinking through some stuff that I did, what did I do good, what did I do well, what did I do wrong, this is very valuable, but overthinking it, not really. So what you need to do is to destroy negative thoughts before they become mental monsters. Because this is what most people with lack of self-confidence do most of their times. They foster negative thoughts, they think that, I don't know, they are not very worthy. And if it's fertilized by frequent recalls, and you are thinking about it all and all again, then they can become like mental monsters, and they can really poison our lives and our self-confidence, wrecked. So whenever you experience this, just make it stop. Do something else. It will be difficult at first, but after a while you will do this.
So, for example, what else can we do? How can we modify how we feel?
Yeah, okay. So of course, most people know that you can also manage your posture and your motion.
Yeah, so body and mind are interconnected. This is nothing new. And why not start with your body if you feel that you got a bit stuck at the mental cognitive level? You can manipulate yourself by changing your body.
Yeah. So it's actually, you just have to think through how your body is when you are feeling very little and very incompetent, and you do the exact opposite. That usually helps. It's not a big help. I'm not saying that this solves all your confidence problems. This is a very little help, but it's still a help. You cannot really be confident in a very when you are crouching and. It's
also
just
managing your body on the long term.
Yeah.
So have a healthier lifestyle, and if you keep your health up, and if you don't forget your body, and treat yourself well, then most possibly you will gain more self confidence.
Yeah, I'm sure. So actually, taking up sport, some kind of sport, that's a huge self confidence booster.
Yeah, it makes you feel stronger. Again, and you are stronger.
Yeah, and again, it might take like maybe 6 or 7 or 8 months before it starts to show, but I guarantee you that it will show. Mm. And I have a couple of like quick tips for building self confidence. One is is it, whenever you are in a room, like in a conference or yeah, in a meeting, a presentation, you just take the front seat. So sit somewhere in the front. Usually, I don't know, I just had this observation that people, at least in Hungary, start to fill up the
from
seats
the back.
From the back.
For sure, yeah.
This is already like showing a lack of self-confidence. Yeah. Like, why am I sitting at the back? This is crazy. So you just force yourself to sit in the front. Also, practice making eye contact. Making eye contact is good. It's good for the other person and it's good for you. So just practice it. And what you can also practice, which is very useful, is speaking up. So again, this you can decide that whenever you are in a meeting or a conference or a forum you attend and it's open for comments or questions from the audience, and you are in the audience, make sure you tell something, you ask something, you say something.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't do this. Most people fear actually doing this because, yeah, my opinion is worthless, or I will look foolish if I speak up, or other people probably know more than I. Actually, that's a good reason for you to ask. That's not a good reason for you to not to ask. So this is again, you are being a critic and not a player. So you are in a conference, you want to ask a question. You don't want to ask a question, well, make something up. Just practice it, that you always say something in every meeting, every conference, just to get used to speaking in front of other people, because that's one of the greatest confidence booster. Yeah, also just smile a lot.
Yeah, that shows that you are more accessible.
Yeah.
Because it's a funny thing that if you don't smile because you are introverted or you are too shy or whatever, it will oftentimes come off as you being arrogant. So the other people are reading you as the court princess or prince who's arrogant, because that's why he or she doesn't smile, because maybe he or she looks down on us. So this is how the others can read your lack of smile. And on the opposite, if you are smiling, you will be more accessible and more open to conversation. So don't forget to smile. If you're not the smiley type, then maybe it's time to start smiling.
You can
smiling.
Take it up. It's a habit, really. So you can take it up, yeah. Actually. Smile more, then. Also, there is one more thing. We are not going to discuss this at length now, because we are doing another podcast on this. But be responsible for your future self. We are so easy... We so easily dump everything on our future self. So like, you want to lose weight? Yeah, you are not doing it today because you are doing it from, I don't know, from next day, Monday. Because your future self next Monday will be much more responsible than you are now.
So I hope you understood the irony.
Yeah. So be responsible for your future self. Don't forget that actually your future self is you. So if you are not doing it today, you most definitely don't want to do it next month when you already had one more instance of not doing it, which strengthens the procrastination wireness of your brain. So and you just think about this. If you are not doing it now, just think about it that you will not do it tomorrow, and you will not do it the day after tomorrow, and then, you are not going to do it.
Yeah. So what can you do now? We suggest you to take a piece of paper and start filling up your dinner account, and in the evening try to think of your daily successes, of people who did something well, And also, just list your successes and take baby steps towards your goals. That's a good and great first start to greater self-confidence. Yeah. And this was already a step you took towards self-confidence to listen to us, but doing is more important. So thank you for being with us here, and please join our next podcast as well. And we are also looking for your feedback. You can find us on Facebook or on the webpage, and feel free to ask or comment. And thanks a lot for coming, and don't forget, take baby steps towards greater self-confidence.
And also, we are going to get back to this topic, so don't worry, there will be more to come.
And check out the other podcast as well.
Yeah.
See you.